The Sharpened Artist Color Pencil Podcast, inspiration and innovation.
We're talking everything you want to know about this medium that we love so much.
And we're your hosts, John Middick and Barb Sotiropoulos. Hey there, welcome back to the show. My name is John Middick, and sitting right over there is Barb Sotiropoulos. Hey, Barb, how are you?
Good, I'm great.
Awesome. All right. So this is part two of an episode that Barb and I started last week. We were talking about A Day in the Life. It's one of the most popular emails and topics that I get from someone who's wanting to take their business to the next level. I'm sure, Barb, you interact with a lot of people as well, that they're wanting to know, what should I be working on? What's it really look like when you're doing this day in and day out? What things do you actually focus on? Yeah, pulling the curtain back. That's right. And so we talked a lot about different things last week, and now we're going to sort of wrap up just a few things today. But I'm excited about this particular part, aren't you, Barb? This is one of the most exciting parts of the discussion. But before we do that, just wanted to give a quick shout out to a podcast listener who, Barb, I don't know if you realize this, but we're in 50 countries now, 50 different countries around the globe, which I just think is amazing. We have hundreds of thousands of downloads. I'm just overwhelmed by it is the reason why I'm mentioning it. I just never thought that would ever happen.
Well, this is year what of the podcast now?
Wow. 8 years. And Barb, you've been a part of the show for
like half of it, maybe.
Oh, or more. It's been more.
No, I don't think it's more.
Oh, well, okay.
I came around 2018, late 2018, I think. So
it's been five. So that's over.
You know
half.
What? The problem is, like, and I'm sure other people can relate to this, is ever, like, with the pandemic, like, I feel like everything I thought that was like
we 2 years lost time ago, during
that. Yeah, is actually four. Like, it's not.
Yeah,
good.
I have no memory during that time. I don't even know what. I don't know what happened.
I know. It's like we were still doing the podcast, but I just feel. I feel like. I feel like I have like a gap in my.
Well, those
my,
2 or 3
concept
years.
Of time.
Yeah, those 1 or 2 years or 3 years, they all got truncated into just like a little tiny small space.
Yeah,
is what happened.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess I've been around for a long time then.
You have. You're an old timer. So. Linda the Brewer, she left a review. I'm going to read this one. She says, I enjoy these podcasts very much and look forward to the new season. The information is always timely and enjoyable to listen to. You and Barb make these podcasts very enjoyable. Keep them coming. Keep doing them. Awesome. Thank you, Linda, so much. Appreciate that.
And Linda has actually emailed me personally directly to tell me how much she likes the podcast, too.
Oh, so nice.
Linda, thank you so much.
She's a real treasure. You. She really is. She's a great one. Okay, guys. So that leads me to what I just wanted to say very quickly. If you like the show, leave a rating and or a review, no matter what country you're in. We would appreciate that, and we will read that, and we'll take some of those and read them on even on the air. So, cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk then, Barb. Today, we're talking about A Day in the Life. So, let's begin this discussion then as we wrap up, talking about some of the best practices for an artist, for being, you know, what we often like to refer to as an entrepreneur. Because this is ownership of your business. This is your business. This is a unique business because it's you and your craft. But there's so many different aspects to it. So what are the takeaways? That's what Barb and I want to talk about then today. First thing that I would say is you're not alone in this. You are working on your particular art business, and there are so many different helps and aids and tools that you can use today, especially technology. Here's the thing. Don't get hung up on which technology is the best and which one's going to help me the best way possible. I don't want you to get hung up on that. What I would rather you do is busy yourself working on whatever it is you need to get done. So there's not a best tool. There are some pretty good ones, but find your stack and then decide this is it. And I'm going to work with this tech stack and I'm going to work on whatever it is. Okay. So like email lists, let's take that for instance. You need an email marketing system, right? So don't go around, don't prowl around the internet like I used to do, looking for the best email marketing solution and spending, you know, countless hours wasting time trying to figure out, well, is MailChimp better or is ConvertKit better or what's that one you have now, Barb, whatever that one is?
Flowdesk.
Flowdesk better or it doesn't matter. Constant Contact, just pick one. They're all about the same. Pick one. And just decide, this is the one I'm going to do. I'm going to master this one then and use it as a tool and start creating my funnels and start working on developing my relationships with my students or with my art collectors, whatever it is you're trying to do. So I think it's the best time to be alive and working on an art business, Barb, because we have AI tools, which are so cool. We have all these. I feel like in ChatGPT, I have a digital assistant now is what I've got. I also work with a few assistants as well, which I'm excited about that. These are great people. They're mostly students of mine, but they also wanted to be involved in the business and help out. They're a valuable, valuable resource and asset to the business. And they're wonderful people, brilliant. Just brilliant people. Scheduling tools, those are very important. Your email marketing system, like I talked about, but there's so many other things. There's storage systems, different softwares you need to use for video recording and editing. The list could go on and on. We could spend an entire episode just talking about all the technology, couldn't we, Barb?
Multiple episodes,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, so we're not going to do that. And it's so much more. There's so many more software packages that you use when you're running an online business, even as an artist, than I think what a lot of people first realize. A lot of the art mentoring students that I have, when they're wanting to start teaching, and you know, it's not just about the hardware. That's the easier part of everything. It's about all the things you do behind the scenes with the software and the distribution tools that. There's a bit of a learning curve sometimes, but you will learn it and you'll be able to use it.
I think, you know, it can get really easily overwhelming, especially if, you know, technology isn't necessarily something you're very well versed in. So, I mean, what I would recommend to anyone is if you're going to do anything that we talk about today, get your email list started.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that will be the thing, you know, whether you're sending out emails right away or not is not the point, but you need to start collecting that way of getting in contact with people who are either interested in your artwork or interested in your content.
Yep.
And one of the things you will hear a lot of experts in this field say is that you cannot rely on social media as a way of being your method of connecting with people for a lot of reasons. And one of the main ones is that it's not land that you own. And that expression's used quite frequently when talking about this. But it's true. I mean, I think it was February of, actually, I don't remember the date now, so I'm not going to quote it. But there was the day, not long ago, Instagram and Facebook went down for like the majority of the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, if your focus is there on trying to build your social audience, while that can have benefits, the problem is if that ever just decides to go away completely, you have no way of getting in touch with those people anymore. And the end of the day, you want to always be driving people towards signing up for your email list. And again, you know, even if you don't necessarily know what to do with it right away, that is probably the first place you should learn to sort of invest your time and educate yourself a little bit more on, because it will eventually be one of the most important aspects of your business, regardless of any other technology.
Yes, because you own that email list. You don't own the people. You don't own the software that creates the email list or anything.
Yeah.
But you own that list. So it's an important thing. That it's one of the only things that you actually own. Barb, you're absolutely right. I mean, even YouTube, in any other social platform you can think of, if you invest most of your time on those platforms, then instead of your own website and investing in amassing your own list, then it's kind of a fool's game, really, when you do that, when you invest too much time.
Yeah.
And too I mean, much there's def- inordinate exactly. amount of time.
Yeah. And there's definitely, I mean, there's many, many aspects to, you know, the technology that you can use to grow your business or to that are important having your business. Certainly a website's definitely one of them. But for example, if you're an artist that is just starting out, you're really just doing, say, art markets or whatever, that sort of thing, you can still collect email addresses in those locations. And that's still something you can, you know, hold on to for the future. Yeah. I mean, you obviously want to make sure you are always getting people's permission, which is important.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, you know, depending on the country you live in, there might be some other, you know, specifications you need to follow in terms of emailing people and that sort of thing. So make sure you're aware of that. But, you know, of all the things we're talking about today, I think that one's one of the most important ones. And to Absolutely. John's point, like, you don't need to overanalyze it, but definitely, you know, one of the biggest things with email lists now that you really have to take into consideration is that once you get to a certain number of subscribers, you'll have to start paying. So, you know, for example,
but Barb doesn't have to worry about that, folks.
No. So for example,
Flowdesk. Flowdesk is the one I would start out with if it were me today. I'm so entrenched in this ConvertKit that I'm using. I'm sorry, I'm hijacking your thoughts.
No, Barb. No, that's okay. I'm gonna finish it when you're done.
Barb is really smart. And she signed up for Flowdesk when they had a good rate going on and no cap on the amount of subscribers, which, you know, a true friend would have told someone about that when they had
I feel like I did, but we'll talk about that
by
later.
By the time I went out there and looked, they had jacked their prices up. But anyway,
well, I mean, and here's the
I
thing.
I wouldn't have moved anyway, to be honest, probably.
As an example, there's pros and definitely. And there's pros and cons to that, too. So what I would say is it takes a little bit of future planning in terms of who you eventually decide to go with. And there's a lot of pros and cons. So, you know, when you're looking at the bigger overarching aspect of your business, you have to kind of plan for it and pick something that's reflecting what your business is or your business goals are now. That may change in the future. Now, for example, with Flowdesk, I really love them. I think it's great. However, ConvertKit has a more advanced
tagging
system.
Yeah.
And it also is integratable with, or is integratable a word?
Yeah, let's make it a word. It's API. They have a lot of APIs, application programming interfaces.
Yeah. They integrate very well with a lot of other programs, whereas Flowdesk it's not necessarily recognized as an email provider that will integrate quite as easily. So then you have to start using third-party programs. And,
I was going to say, but you can get around that, though, is the thing.
Sure, you can. But I'm saying, again, for somebody, like, it really just depends on, like, do you love the platform enough to do that? Or, you know, do you want something that just...
I love the price of Flowdesk. That's the thing.
Well, and for example, like, my list is compared to yours quite a bit smaller. So right now it doesn't matter for me because I wouldn't have been paying a lot to begin with. But once you start getting into thousands and thousands of followers, you start paying for how many thousands of followers you have, which can get quite expensive. So, I mean, that said, ideally, if you're having thousands and thousands of followers, your business is also generating income to sort of compensate for that.
It is.
But it's something to keep into consideration.
Yes, yes. Starting out, guys, all these platforms have a free option, okay?
Yes.
Because when you start out, you're not going to have over 1,000 email subscribers, and most of them are free up until around 1,000-ish or something. So keep that in mind. All right, let's talk then about outsourcing. I mean, that has been one of the best things in my business. Barb, you don't even know this. I was going to mention this to you a while ago, but I have got a new video editor that I'm starting onboarding right now, which is, I'm super excited about that. That's one of the biggest bottlenecks in my business is video editing. It takes up an inordinate amount of time.
They can edit out all of the weird faces that I make in between takes.
No, we need to keep all those.
No, please don't.
We'll use AI to change Barb's face, you know. Yeah.
I mean, might be an improvement. I don't know.
So, but anyway, if you can outsource anything in your business, and sometimes it doesn't need to be in your business. If you think about it, because here's the thing, guys. You're going to be if you want to be an artist or level up and start doing a little bit more and selling your work or selling courses or whatever it might be. There's so many different things you can do to make money as an artist. You're going to be working a lot of hours. I think we made that point last week. But here's the thing. You don't have to have help in the arena of your business to still be able to edge out some of that room and buy back some of your time. Maybe it's mowing your lawn. You could hire someone to mow your lawn. That's still saving you money and time by investing it back, that time back into your business. Maybe it's a house cleaner or someone to, I don't know, whatever. But think about these other little things.
Walk your dog,
whatever. Sleep for you, eat for you. I'm just kidding. But you think about all these other things that take up your time in your day. Maybe you, get groceries delivered to you rather than going to the grocery store, things like that.
I've used that. I mean, I don't know if they have it in the States. It's called Instacart here.
Yeah, Instacart's what it's called.
Oh, okay. I never know what's American and what's Canadian. Like skip the dishes here. I thought that was American and it's not.
If it's something that sounds really cool, Barb, it's US. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. I always have to take these opportunities.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Tease Barb.
It's fine. No, but listen, Katy Perry was in the commercials. I was like, okay, big American pop star. This is probably an American thing. I think it's called something else there. But
what are you?
I think it's the same company. It's called Skip the Dishes. It's like their branding is orange and white, but I'm pretty sure it's called something else there.
I've never heard of it, but that doesn't mean much. I'm not.
It's just a food delivery service. But like,
it probably.
We're getting sidetracked, but I'm just saying, like.
This is important. No. Anyway.
No, but I've used the grocery delivery thing is what I'm saying, because there are some days that.
Yeah. The point is really strong, though, that there are little things and batch things together, too. I batch as much as possible. I group tasks together that are similar or exactly the same, usually exactly the same, and learn how to not be bored doing the same thing repetitively over and over and over again. Rather than doing 10 steps, I do one step 10 times, if that makes sense. So try to batch.
And I think I talked about this a little bit the last episode, is that even for myself, I try to have days where, and part of this is because I find it really hard to start and stop in this particular medium, but like, if I'll decide I'm painting one day, then I'm just painting that day. Or if I have computer tasks, I will just be doing computer tasks that day. I also have to balance a little bit more of my computer time, and depending on if you're used to staring at a screen, I mean, it's not really good for you anyways, and I certainly have some neurological migraine issues now that I have to be mindful of, so I try to break up how much screen time I spend these days. But being mindful of those things too, if you have a physical limitation that you can't really be sitting for very long, or making sure that if that's the case, do you invest in a sit stand desk? Think about those type of things too. Like, those are all important things to consider in your business, is now that you're going to be doing more desk time for various tasks, how do you still maintain those other parts of your health as well, and make sure that you're not, so focused on your business that it's now causing other issues in your life?
Absolutely. This is a good discussion, Barb. And what else?
Yeah. So, I mean, just in addition to what we're talking about with the health related considerations in terms of, changing what your setup's going to be and in the way that you're working, also just avoiding burnout. Like, while it's good to invest in things like, grocery delivery services or someone walking your dog or someone cleaning your house, you may need to use those services sometimes, especially if you're in the middle of a project during a certain amount of time and, you need to get things done, but you don't want to be relying on them so much that you're not giving yourself breaks in your day to do other things, because if you're anything like me, I mean, I know the weeks and the days that I'm focusing too much on my business, it then starts to affect my sleep because I'm not actually giving myself enough downtime. And so that downtime part of it is important too. And I mean, you can get really involved in wanting to do all the things and wanting to learn stuff and just being so immersed in your business that you forget that, you know, you need to have a life outside of your business.
Absolutely.
You need to have, you know, go, you need to be able to go for a walk sometimes or just do these other things that kind of allow your brain to pause for a minute and, you know, do something else. I mean, you certainly talked about in last episode about your morning routine. And, you know, for some people that might be taking time to meditate or pray or, you know, having those moments of calm and sort of where you're not just focusing on what your business is and what you need to do that day. You know, maybe it's better to do it at the end of the day, whatever works for you. You just need to find that balance because you will burn out. Certainly.
Absolutely.
I think we both have done that to ourselves, trying to work on things.
And then we reach out to each other and like, I need to talk.
Well, I mean, that's important too, but you know, I think it's, there are consequences both health-wise and otherwise to putting yourself in that state too often. And it's also a great way to abandon ship entirely if your personality type doesn't deal with overwhelm very well. It it might lead you to you know, not follow through with commitments and all these other things. And you don't want to be in that place. You want to, you know, give yourself some breathability to be able to do these things without an enormous amount of overwhelm.
Yeah. And so you mentioned talking to one another, and mastermind groups is another thing. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But before we do that, I want Barb to talk. I want you to talk about this business ready asset bundle. I think I'm excited about this.
Yeah. So in addition to the book that I wrote, I put together a series of assets that are actually things that I use in my own business and that I find really helpful and help keep me organized, help me for tax time. You know, we talked a little bit about organization being important, but I really find for me, it's kind of the keystone of everything. There are templates that are essentially done for you. They're editable and customizable. They're for somebody who, you know, doesn't know where to get started setting up their own spreadsheets or templates. If you feel like you're struggling with how to organize the information, you sort of just want a done-for-you solution that you can customize because, you know, sometimes the overwhelm just comes from setting it up. And sometimes, too, especially if you're new to things, you don't know what you should be tracking or, you know, what information you should be logging or how to organize that information. And so if you want to spend less time on the administration, more time on creating, which we all want to do as artists. I think this is a really helpful solution for that. So the bundle includes an art business tracker. And so there's four separate worksheets in that spreadsheet. There's an online store and print cost tracker. So one of the things you really have to keep into consideration when you have an online store is to make sure you're pricing your products accordingly. And so there's a whole spreadsheet where you can enter in your costs for things and so that you can eventually, you know, arrive at a number that makes sense so you're actually making a profit instead of, you know, by the end of it realizing that you've given your money away to manufacturing and fees. There's also a commission and artwork tracker. So I like to keep all the details on my commissions. So, you know, what I spent on a frame, if I frame it, any material, like rough material costs. And again, this all breaks it down so that you can make sure that you're charging enough and that you're recuperating your costs from things. There's also two templates in there. So there's a commission invoice, which you can also make a quote. You can change it. You can use it interchangeably as an invoice or a quote template. There's also a commission contract template. So it's a very basic template that you can use. You obviously need to customize it to your to the person you're doing the commission for. I would make sure that if you change anything in terms of the language that you consult a lawyer, again, it's very much a starting point, but you want to make sure that it is applicable to the laws of where you live and your specific country and that sort of thing so that you're not, you know, doing anything you shouldn't be or saying anything you shouldn't be, but it is a good starting point for that. And there are all of these templates are formatted for Apple and Microsoft programs. And then there's also a bonus products and programs recommendations. So over and above what we're talking about here today, I have some of the personal programs and products that I use that I recommend for a business. And then there's a little how-to guide that just goes through and shows you how to use each one of the templates.
I can't imagine how much time this took to develop. These are really great, guys. Here's the thing. I purchased it. I purchased it outright from Barb because I was so excited about it. And it does not disappoint. She's not really giving this its true weight here. I'm a power user in Excel. I programmed in Excel as well when I was in my corporate job. And I love the editable versioning of these Excel workbooks. So inside the workbook, she's got several sheets. You know that old saying, you cannot track what you don't measure. It's so true. Guys, if you're not measuring these expenses, then it's very difficult to know what's going on. You can't even project. It's very important. And you can go in there editing these things. I mean, that's a dream. You can go in there if you know how to write formulas in Excel. And you can also put this into Google Sheets if you want to do that. You can write out your formulas and then transfer it over into Google Sheets. But anyway, I don't want this to sound like a big, long ad.
It's really
not. But I just want to say that this is a very valuable bundle. And I would get my hands on it.
I do want to mention also that I don't teach you how to use Excel or numbers or Word. just so it's clear, so people understand. It's more just the how-to goes through just how to use, how I've set up the sheet. So, you know, one of the things that I added in the last couple years, I mean, these templates and trackers and that sort of thing are sort of the many revisions of, you know, the 10 plus years that I've had my business and coming to, you know, this is, I've refined them to a point that makes sense for me. And I think for a lot of people's businesses, right, just in terms of what you're tracking, but it's really helpful. And one of the things that I just added in the last couple years was a year-to-year comparison tracker. And that's been really valuable because it sort of gives you, you know, you'll hear businesses talk about like your quarterly numbers and that sort of thing. And it kind of gives you, you know, once you've been doing this long enough, it gives you a little bit of a way of expecting what your income's going to be at certain times of the year. So for example, for a lot of artists, you know, the third quarter, so the last 3 months of the year, tend to be, you know, really high income years, but maybe the summer isn't as much. So, you know, in terms of planning your business, like maybe that's when you focus on creating more art. And maybe that's where maybe you look into additional streams of income, which, you know, I talk about in my book, The Money-Making Methods for Artists, where you look at into some of those other streams to maybe help balance your income in those slower times. So, you know, these type of things are really important to have in a business because then you're getting this bigger picture year to year and having an understanding of where you're going. So,
guys, because it's editable, you can put a dashboard sheet right on the top of that. So you see something graphical, you know, at the beginning of the workbook, something like that, to just plug those in to what Barb has laid out there. And it's super. Awesome. Thank you for creating that. That is so good.
Yeah. If you want more information, we'll have the link in the show notes and it's on for what I feel is a very good price right now for a limited time. I will be raising it eventually, but depending on when you're listening to this podcast, definitely head over there. And there's a bit of a discount if you buy my book. There's a coupon code at the end of the book that will give you a discount for the bundle as well. So there's always ways to
save. Wait, I didn't get a discount, did I? Did I get the discount?
I mean, you got
it. Did I get the book?
Did you? You're getting a printed version of the book for free.
For free? Okay. Yes. Yeah, good. I'm not going to pout then.
Complimentary.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's talk about masterminds very quickly.
We're
trying to wrap up here, guys, but, just a couple things left here. I cannot stress how important it is, at least for me. I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. I'm one of these people. I need people. I didn't know that about myself until I left my corporate job. And I'm like, okay, I do need people. I'm a people person. I mean, I knew it a little bit, but I need people around me. I need to be in consultation with people. I need to be able to talk to people and to sort things out sometimes. And Barb has been a very valuable, trusted resource and person for me. And I'm hoping I am for her as well. But just having another trusted person like that is very important. But you can also start your own mastermind group. And I've been in a number of those through the years. Do some art mentoring, art coaching with someone else. All those things are so important because you can't see past what you can see. Your headlights only go so far sometimes, right? Mine only go a certain distance, and I need someone else on the outside to say, ah, wait a minute, you're missing something right there. So very important.
Yeah, and I sorry to interrupt. I was going to say one of the things that I think has been very valuable in specifically our relationship has been, you know, we're in very different places in our businesses, but we also just have very different skill sets that the other doesn't have.
Right.
And
right.
So that's been really valuable in terms of, you know, even before we came to record the second half of the episode today, it's, you know, we're talking about things that, you know, maybe are strengths for me and I'm explaining them to John and, you know, vice versa. And those kind of things are very important to have. And it also helps with, again, we talked about overwhelm earlier. It really helps with that because you can spend hours and days of your life on the internet researching things. And sometimes it's nice to just be able to go to one person who you know has experience in these things and has either proven results or whatever and can just say, oh, just try doing it this way. And then you have your answer and you can do it. You know, like it's the internet, while I love how much information is available, it also puts you in a place of paralysis sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Because now you're like, I don't know what to do. This person says this. This person says that. I don't know what works. I don't know where to go. And having just that person that you trust that you can vent to and trade ideas with and sort of say, like, how should I handle this or how should I do this? Like, that is invaluable. It really, really is.
Really is. And sometimes you because of ignorance or lack of understanding about something I'm talking about, you'll end up spending more money or more time or both because of that. So, which kind of leads me to our next point here, Barb, about shifting gears, about just reevaluating things, guys. Look at what is working. Double down on what is working. What isn't working, maybe you do need to work on it a little bit, but look at the thing that is working, let that lead and follow that. And sometimes that means we need to pivot. And sometimes it's not, you know, it's just like when you go to the gym, especially if you go back to the gym, if you've taken a break for a while and you're lifting weights or something and you're just like, well, I don't enjoy working on, I don't know, shoulders. Let's pick on shoulders. I don't like it. It hurts. It doesn't feel good or whatever. So that's the thing. Usually a trainer says,
like Derek. Notoriously leg day.
but really, trainers usually say that's the thing then. That's what I've always been told. That's the thing you need to do more of then.
Yeah.
The thing that you don't enjoy. You know, you get outside of that comfort zone. Sometimes it's important that we shift. Little micro shifts and just redirect a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a great example of that is, you know, even just evaluating my own business, you know, I've decided that I need to spend more time on YouTube. I mean, I've had a channel for years. I kind of been neglecting it for a couple of years. And part of that is, you know, and both John and I will tell you this without any kind of sugarcoating, is that video is like, it's so much time.
So much time.
Like, it's one of the things that actually ends up being prohibitive for a lot of people. Yeah. And make no mistake, the people that you see that are putting out videos like more than once a week.
And we're not talking about live streams. We're talking about
edited like videos on videos. YouTube.
Yeah. It's so much time.
Yeah, they either have somebody helping them or that's all they're doing with their life.
Most of the time, that's what they do is they've got someone helping.
I mean, or
you're right. That is all they do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's literally all they do because there's not an easier way or quicker way to do some of this stuff.
Like, no, there's not.
Sure, you can enlist somebody to who's maybe a little bit more proficient at the programs, but there's a real time aspect to it that unless you duplicate yourself.
Yeah.
Or, right. You know, when I was, when I first started my channel and I was doing reviews on the Art Snacks boxes I would get monthly. And I mean, that was just once a month, but it would take me an entire week to not only film, do the audio, all of that, and then edit. For one video, it took me a whole week. And this is, I was working full time at the time, but still, like, I mean, honestly, it's very time intensive. Now, that said, YouTube has a longer lifespan in terms of your content.
Right.
And it's a great way to be able to connect with people for various reasons. It's very much, you know, in terms of trends, like they're very much going to almost being like replacing cable in terms of, I mean, even for us, we don't have cable. We watch YouTube videos like all night and it's various things. Right. But, you know, the lifespan of, say, a reel on Instagram is less than 24 hours, whereas your YouTube video will be months, if not years. Right. So, you know, so for me, when I look at, okay, what kind of effort am I putting into putting out content? If I want to share that for free, where is my time best spent in terms of sharing that content? If I want to connect with people and, you know, share things that I think are valuable, like it's sort of disheartening when you, for example, share something on Instagram, you know that the lifespan is going to be hours and only a fraction of the people who follow you are going to see it. It's disheartening, right? Because there's not really that opportunity for somebody months later to find it again. It's very rare. Whereas, you know, for something like YouTube, the possibility is higher. So you have to take those things into consideration. It's like, okay, well, if you're sitting there, you know, cranking out all these videos trying to get like TikTok or Instagram famous, what's the end goal and how is it really helping your business? If it's if it's not something that's going to be a good use of your time, you have to you have to evaluate that. Now, for some people, it is a good use of their time. For me, this is something that I feel like I want to put more effort into as an example.
Right. Yeah. Let's all true stuff. I mean, it's I'm not even going to add to that. I think you covered that really well. But let's talk about customer service. This is something Barb and I have to talk about quite a bit with one another because it's a I don't know about for you, Barb, but for me, it's a daily thing. I'm answering emails all day long. And it's in one form or another, it's always something related to customer service or someone's wanting feedback on their drawing. It's every single day and it's more than one. And so your tone and the way you come across matters so much. I care deeply about these people and I love them all. I love all my students. They're great people. But I have to make sure that I don't answer them and let them understand that the reason I'm saying this is because I care about them. I want them to improve as an artist, you know, that kind of thing. So it's important to just understand that they're just like you. Put yourself in their shoes. They are needing help with whatever it is.
Yeah. When you are a business owner of any kind, and this goes for being an artist, no matter what you're offering in your art business, there's a customer service aspect to that that you need to be aware of. Now, that said, you know, I would say I always try to approach people with kindness and understanding, even though I don't necessarily get emails that always approach me that way.
Right. Well, yeah.
At the end of the day, at the end of the day, you know, you have to you have to really be mindful of those things. And
the reason they're coming, the reason that it may feel like, though, that they're coming at you or at, I'm not saying you, Barb, I'm just talking about in general, if you're listening today, if you're getting a customer service email and they're using 1,000 question marks, like, I thought the video was doing this to, or is going to be up right now at this moment. And then they'll put like 4 or 5 or 10 question marks or something. And then they'll type in all caps or something like that. They're not frustrated at you. They're not mad at you and frustrated at you. They're needing their thing. They're wondering what is going on with their thing, you know, or they can't understand why they can't log in, you know, or they think they've logged in, but they didn't log in. I can't tell you how many times that happens, you know. But I understand that technology is not the strong suit of a lot of people. And so I have to put myself in their shoes and think, okay, what is it they're really trying to do here? They're not mad. I don't think, and I understand where Barb's comment's coming from, because sometimes they sure appear to be mad.
Yeah, I mean, I think
short
it's just
calling us, you know, names sometimes.
Yeah, I think as a general statement, I think for everyone, it's always important to just approach everyone with a little bit more patience and kindness. Yeah. While you could be, you know, understandably frustrated with something. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, people who are running their own businesses, like, and it goes back to that whole, you're wearing a lot of hats. Not only are you the creator, you're also customer service, you're also your own accountant, you're also all these things, right? So, you know, for me, I try to, like you said, look at it from the perspective of, you know, they're just having a frustration with something and I need to help them work through it. But, you know, what I would say to that too is, you know, I sort of always hope that people would be like, come to me asking a question as opposed to an accusation, because I think that's the thing that sometimes people forget is that it's like, well, I'm a person too.
You know? So yeah, exactly.
It's like, you know, it's like I'm not here to try and swindle anyone or, you know, whatever. It's like, if you can't access something, like, that's a problem for me too. I want to be able to help you through that. And and kind of approaching it with, you know, I try to make sure I have really thorough, like, you know, frequently asked questions sections, so that if somebody's having like a common technical issue, they can kind of work through it there. Yeah. But I'm always happy to answer emails and help people work through things if they can. And that's something you have to be prepared to do as a business owner, especially if you're offering anything that's an online product. Just because, you know, there are going to be those issues. And in some ways you have to learn to kind of let some of the maybe not so kind terminology slide, but at the same time, the other side of it is also be prepared that sometimes people's tone in their emails is maybe not always going to come with asking a question first.
It's true. And it's true. The only reason why I'm a little softer on this, I guess, at the moment is I haven't had one of those in a little while. But yeah, Barb's right. Sometimes I'll get one. I'm like, oh my goodness, this one. It's almost like they're trying to push my buttons, you know, that kind of thing. I have to take a deep breath and like, okay, they're not frustrated at me. I have to remind myself. They're just frustrated because things aren't working the way they thought it was going to work.
Yeah, and honestly, it's been very rare that I've gotten emails where people have issues. I know certainly there were sometimes it's the platform, the way things are structured. Yeah, right. You know, maybe their checkout screen looks a little bit different than most of them do. You know, like, you know, there's those sort of things. But what I also try to do in those situations, and I recommend this to everyone, is, you know, when you can kind of get past the language that maybe someone is using, there's an opportunity there to learn from what they're saying to you in terms of, okay, do I keep getting people coming back to me saying that this part of the website I'm selling my color charts on don't make sense? Well, okay, I need to look at that and say, like, how can I make this more clear for someone? Is this the right platform if people are continually running into the same issue? Do I contact the people running the platform and give them that feedback and say, hey, like, my customers are really struggling with this part of the checkout process. Is there a way to refine it? Like, there's always opportunities in there to sort of flip it around and be like, okay, is there something I need to change here? Is there something to learn? So instead of taking it as offense, like, finding a way to, you know, I guess make it a learning opportunity. In my commission contracts, even though I've never had this situation occur, I do have a clause in my commission contracts that says, you know, if you're abusive for whatever reason, I can terminate this project. Because you know, it's one of those things where, like, you may not have encountered it, but at the same time, like, having those little things built into your contracts and into your, you know, terms and conditions of things, you know, it also helps you cover it at the end of the day and just be like, okay, well, these are my policies, and my policies are that you don't get to be abusive to me.
Yeah.
And again, I don't want to scare anyone thinking that, you know, there's all these crazy, awful people out there, because they're really quite rare.
Very rare, yeah.
But it does occur, and you have to sort of be aware of it. And also, you know, that's where it comes back to having a good art buddy to be able to sort of you can
there is a list. There is a list, guys. We artists who sell things, and if you're listening today and you know what I'm talking about, then there's a list of people that, and we exchange those names once in a while and we say, that's a trouble person right there. You know, it's a small list, but there is a list. Okay. That's all I want to say about that.
All right. Let's talk about the key takeaways.
Key takeaways, and we'll wrap up here.
Wrap it up.
Yep. So there obviously there will be some highs and lows. Not everything's going to be smooth sailing all the time. Just get ready for being able to adjust and for those times and being prepared for this topsy-turvy kind of things that can happen. Organization and self-motivation, like we talked about in the last episode, are just very key for being able to maintain what you're doing in your business.
So, I mean, another thing to consider is that you may not get a lot of days off, especially at first. I mean, you know, I've certainly had days where I feel like I'm working 7 days a week. That said, when you enjoy what you're doing, it really doesn't feel like it. But there will be times, you know, for example, if you're building a website or you're launching a product or that sort of thing, you might be investing a little bit more time. Just, you know, I would say make sure you're balancing that with some downtime as well at the end of the project once it wraps up. And, you know, just to add to that, I mean, don't do it if you don't love it. You know, if you don't love everything about being an artist and wanting to do this, it will make the hard days harder.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly, especially recently, full disclosure, vulnerability moment. But, you know, I've had some hard days myself recently where, you know, I've questioned things or have been really emotionally overwhelmed. And the thing that keeps me going is the fact that I just love this so much that I'm willing to endure the hardship and the days where it's not as easy so that I can get to this goal that I have in mind and get to the place where I want to be with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the amount of time and energy required can be just extremely overwhelming. And so if you aren't enjoying yourself, if you're not really finding joy in what you're doing, then it's hard to just keep doing that because, you know, guys, this is not a predictable 9-to-5 getting a fat salary at some corporation. It can be better than that. It can pay more than that, obviously. But in, like Barb mentioned, in those early years, it's working a lot for next to nothing. Yeah. But you're scaling, you're working, and you're building that up. So that's what's important about it. So figure out your why. You know, I used to laugh at this, Barb, in the early years of, what was it, 7, 8 years ago, maybe 9, when Patreon was brand new, all these artists, and, you know, I'm talking about every kind of artisan you can imagine, even singers, they were getting on there, musicians and fine artists as well, and they were getting on there, they come up with some of the most ridiculous tiers, you know, they'll say, if you pay me $1 a month, I will say your name in my blog post. If you pay me $3 a month, then I will send you a little postcard of my art thingy. If you give me $20 a month, you will be my God and I will be your slave. You know, that kind of, you saw stuff like that, right?
Who are you looking at?
I wasn't
like
looking.
Goodness.
No,
I know you're exaggerating,
I'm exaggerating, but they would say things like that. Like, what are you talking about right now? Like, okay. That's not your why. There has to be an altruistic kind of why, in my opinion. You can't say, if you pay me this, I will buy a new computer, you know, and that's the kind of thing you used to see on Patreon. I'm chuckling about it because I thought it was funny. Like, I will upgrade I'll buy a better microphone, you know. Who cares?
You have my internal gratitude.
Yeah, it's like, who cares about that? How about You give something more to your audience that they actually care about. If they're going to support you, and I know most of you guys probably aren't on Patreon, but that was a big thing back in the day. And what we're saying, though, is that if you figure out your why And really, I mean this. I know it's going to sound cheesy. It's going to sound corny. I'm just going to go with it anyway because it's still true. Just like cliches are tired and old, but they're still true. If you figure out your why and why you're creating art and why you're a business owner trying to serve other artists or whoever, then you'll never work a day in your life. And I know that's cheesy, but really, I promise you, it does kind of feel that way. Like I'm really not, sometimes I have to kind of pinch myself. I'm like, this is work. I'm really working and getting paid for this. This is amazing. It really is. I just can't believe I'm this lucky to live in this particular epoch of time and do this. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, your why could even be something that extends to, you know, your family as well. Like, you know, maybe, maybe your partner works really long hours and, you know, doesn't have a lot of time to spend with the family. And, you know, if you're able to create an income that allows for them to have a little bit more work-life balance, that could be your why. Like, you know, it could be, you know, I want to retire at 50 so that I have time to spend with my grandchildren at that age. You know, stuff like that could be your why too. You know what I mean? Like, I agree that I think, you know, you're, if especially if you're in a position where you're teaching, having a strong why in terms of, you know, wanting to help artists that were like you once upon a time or that sort of thing. Like, those kind of things are important too. But, you know, when you have a very clear understanding of why you're working hard, why you're doing what you're doing, and on the days when it doesn't feel great or it's hard, coming back to that bigger goal or that bigger reason will help push you through.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But your why can be just as simple as something like, and this is part of my why, is I am actually able to help people to feel good about something that they do, to have some productive downtime, some hobbies that actually helps them with mental clarity, wards off dementia, all kinds of great things happen when you create art. And I'm able to help people to do that. And the more people I can help do that, the better I feel about that.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think for both of us on the days when things are hard, like, every now and then it's almost like someone hears me out in the universe or something, but every now and then I'll get somebody who either messages me on Instagram or sends me an email and will let me know. You know, we talked about Linda earlier in the episode or at the beginning of the episode. I think, you know, that day that she had emailed me was on a day that obviously I didn't tell her this, but it was on a day when I was just really having a down day about something. And, you know, even just getting that message, I was like, you know, we're helping people.
And it
actually really, it really meant a lot because it was one of those things where I felt like, you know, the bigger goal of what you and I are trying to do, even just with the podcast, it felt like, okay, like we're at least reaching one person, which is great. Yeah. You know, like that's the point. Like it's, you know, as much as, yes, we talk about the things that we're selling or offering or whatever, all of those, I mean, the reality of the situation is that we need to still be able to pay our bills. But at the end of the day, the bigger reason for even offering something like that at all is because it's like, hey, this really helped me. Yes. I think it would help you too, you know? And certainly, you know, not everything is paid for. I mean, this whole podcast is free and you're getting this, you know, all of this information we're sharing and there's ways to do that too. But, you know, it's finding that balance between, you know, the really, really feeling like what you're doing matters to at least one other person. And sometimes it'll feel like it's only one other person, but you have to keep going because as I heard somebody say, if there's one person, there's two. If there's two, there's four. So, you know, there's exponential too. You know, you may not always hear from people. Like, we don't hear from everyone that listens to the podcast how much it means to them. But, you know, what you're doing will affect people positively. Mm-hmm. And you have to, you know, keep that in your mind. I've started actually in my email, I've created a folder. I've called it my smile file folder, which maybe sounds a little cheesy, but I've now started to put any positive feedback or emails or whatever that I get are all going into that folder now. Mm-hmm. So now when I need a little pick-me-up from having a hard day and John's not answering my text messages.
It does make a difference. It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes the time difference, I'll go to text John and I'm like, it's midnight there. He's not going to answer. having those things built in for yourself will help you keep going and remind you like, hey, people are resonating with what I'm doing. Like somebody does care about what I'm putting out into the world. And that's all really, really important.
All right, guys. So just in closing, keep going, keep learning, keep creating. Keep doing it. It's so, so worth it. Can't express that enough. All right, guys, if you've not left a rating and or a review, I want to urge you to do that one more time. Reach out to the show at any time. Any ideas you may have, if you want to recommend another artist for an art interview, that's appropriate to do. podcast@sharpenedartist.com. And we will talk to you again next time. So until then, take care and stay sharp. Bye-bye.